From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
They come past the 16th. It's Gervin. Gervin Brian Hernandez Jr. for Joe Sharp. And Gervin has won the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Conquest Mo Money, here's the champ, Classic Empire. It is Conquest Mo Money, Classic Empire.
Irish War cries in front because they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runner's not going with him. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude. We are together again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios and happy to have you with us for the next 2 hours here this morning as we continue to edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. And that countdown, well, it's begun, and it's begun in earnest with so much Breeders' Cup Challenge action taking place over the past couple of weekends and then, of course, more yet to come. Don't forget the Breeders' Cup coming up November 3rd and 4th in Del Mar, and we will be there as your exclusive radio home that is just 131 days away from today. And can't wait to get out there and can't wait to bring you coverage of all those Breeders' Cup preps right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Good morning, JT.
Good morning. What's going on?
Everything.
Everything?
Lots. Well, actually, you know what? This afternoon is kind of a lull in that Breeders' Cup Challenge action. You have a couple of Breeders' Cup Challenge races, but not here in the United States. It's kind of a quieter weekend before we start ramping up again in the weeks to come. Of course, next weekend we head to Canada for the Queen's Plate. So a little bit of a quieter weekend, maybe a chance to catch your breath a little bit after everything we've seen.
Yeah, the races are actually pretty nondescript.
Yeah, not a whole lot
going on. Not much.
Next week we have the Summit of Speed down at Gulfstream Park, so we'll get a chance to see a couple of win in your ends there with the Smile and the Princess Rooney. I mentioned we'll be in Canada for the Queen's Plate next Sunday, which is not a win in your end for the Breeders' Cup, but it is the Canadian version of the Kentucky Derby. That should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get back up there. And then, it's not going to be long. We'll be into Saratoga and all those major races coming up at the Spa.
And as your late father used to say, once Saratoga starts, summer is over.
So, and that is so true.
Absolutely. There's no question. It's one of my favorite quotes. I say it all the time. It's just amazing how fast Saratoga goes once you get there.
Last weekend, we had a chance to witness some challenge action at Churchill Downs. We broadcast the Stephen Foster right here on the network and Gunrunner. Looking really good in his first start since finishing behind Arrowgate in the Dubai World Cup. Put it all together. Great training job by Steve Asmussen. People were talking about it on social media this week. Is Gunrunner now likely to be the one to be Arrowgate? And is he in the same league as Arrowgate? I guess is a better way to say it. I still don't see him as being in the same class as Arrowgate, but he's a nice horse.
He's a very nice horse. He beat nothing the other night. It was really he's the number four horse in the world ranked by the Longines, as they say in Great Britain.
Longines.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Longines is so much sexier.
The tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Anyway, fourth best horse in the world. And there wasn't even one in the top 25 that he ran against. So, you know, he's basically racing against the clock. He did what he was supposed to do. He looked good doing it. Yeah, but all the races that
impressed with his comeback?
I thought it was a nice race. He ran great. I wish I owned him. But, you know, I mean, he wasn't facing anybody that really should have given him a tussle, and they didn't. You know, he passed the field like they were tied to a tree and drew away and all that stuff, and he looked great, you know.
But yeah.
I don't know how to gauge that race against real competition.
Right. You know. Yeah. People who were saying that, you know, if all goes right, then yeah, he could beat Arrowgate. And okay, you could say that about any race, right? One horse has a bad day, the other horse has a great day. Yeah, you could turn the tables. Arrowgate, in my opinion, is still head and shoulders. I mean, it's not even a really, I'm being Captain Obvious here with this statement. It's not even really a conversation because Arrowgate is head and shoulders above everybody else out there now.
Well, you know, I agree with that. I think Arrowgate's in a whole different class of horse, and he is number one in the world.
Right.
So, you know, but we saw that all night at Churchill Downs. It was that kind of a night.
Yeah.
You know, McCracken, he beat a bunch of horses that weren't that good.
That he was supposed to beat the
way
he
did.
But it was nice to see him come back in that fashion after having the rough trip and the bit of an injury in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, believe me, I love excellence. And I love watching good horses run good races. I always get disappointed when there's a really nice horse that doesn't fire or, you know, has a bad trip or whatever. It's nice to me to watch good horses run well. And they all did. Yep. Dallas's filly, you know, ran really well.
Forever Unbridled.
Yeah. And who else was an obvious winner that night?
Those were the three that
Kasaki.
Came to mind.
Kasaki, yeah. Class of the race. Absolute class of the race. He won. So, you know, I mean, it was great performance. Well, not necessarily great performance, but excellent performances by horses that should have won.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, you know, pick anybody for second.
We talked about it going into the races last week on this program, and we were discussing which favorite might be most vulnerable because there were going to be several heavy favorites on that program last week at Churchill. And we both kind of thought, well, maybe it's Forever Unbridled. I think you more than me, because I looked at her on paper and said she's a mortal lock cinch. She towers over this field, much like Gunrunner did in the Stephen Foster. But, you know, that effort from Forever Unbridled, to me, was maybe the performance of the evening because of the fact that she was coming back from that long layoff, having not started since a third-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Distaff back in November. And she did it quite easily. You know, the margin of victory wasn't huge, but it didn't matter because she was really under wraps most of the stretch.
Yeah.
They never really asked her to run.
Under wraps and drawing away.
Yeah.
Which is something you love to see when you're training a horse. Great job by Dallas Stewart.
Tremendous.
With that filly. To run her a mile and an eighth off a layoff and have her win that easily. I agree with you. I thought that was the most impressive victory of the evening. And I certainly, it wins the prize for the top training job. I mean, not that any of the trainers that won those races didn't do an excellent job with their horses, but that was out of the realm of the normal, so to speak. I mean, Steve training his horse to win, not a shocker.
Yeah.
You know, Ignacio Correas winning with Kasaki, not a shocker. Ian winning with McCracken, not a shocker. You know, so I think it was a little bit surprising to see her run that big off of a layoff.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, again, she was facing a field that she was supposed to beat, and she did. The margin of victory was a length and three quarters in the Fleur-de-Lis. She wins over 13-1 long shot, apology not accepted. And the second favorite was Big World, Louisiana bred. Very talented, but not quite up to this level. And it was all about Forever Unbridled. And, again, a great training job by Dallas Stewart, who is going to join us after our first commercial break here this morning. In about 5 minutes from right now, we'll visit with Dallas. We'll talk to him about Forever Unbridled, that win in the Fleur-de-Lis. And we're going to ask him about being qualified now for the Breeders' Cup Distaff. You're guaranteed a spot. She was going to go anyway. If all things being equal and she continued on her path, she is one of the top fillies, mares in the country now. And she was going to go, but now she doesn't have to worry about it. The expenses are paid. She's guaranteed. Does that change his approach the rest of the year with Forever Unbridled? We'll ask him that question here in just a few minutes. Dan Torchman is with Equestricon, that conference coming up in August at Saratoga. And we are proud to be the official radio network of Equestricon. And Dan is going to join us at 8:35 Eastern time to talk about some of the things that are happening there and some big announcements that came out regarding the conference this past week. Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith. When you talk about Breeders' Cup, you talk about Mike Smith because he is the all-time leading jockey in terms of number of victories in the Breeders' Cup. He also had a pretty good weekend 2 weekends ago at Belmont Park on the Belmont Undercard program where he won 5 races, including a couple of Win in Your In events. So we're going to talk to Mike coming up right around 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning. And then John Siskos from Woodbine will join us at 9:35 Eastern. He'll give us a little preview of what you can expect next weekend at Woodbine for the Queen's Plate. A lot of things to get to this morning. Very, very busy show. We'll do it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby. Roses Apart, Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Tapprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Tapprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Forever Unbridled is on the move now. Fifth and now fourth and coming up on the far outside. She just went past Tiger Moth as they go by the quarter pole. Apology not accepted. Turns for home in front. Big roll to the attack on the outside second. Forever Unbridled continues to make steady progress. She's now third with one furlong to go. Apology not accepted. Still with the lead. A very confident ride on Forever Unbridled on the outside. She continues to close, but is still Apology Not Accepted in front. Forever Unbridled on the outside has taken over, and she strides away. And Forever Unbridled, nice looking return, wins by a length and a half. Apology Not Accepted was second, Karamba was third, and Big World was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Travis Stone with the call of last Saturday night's Grade 2 Fleur-de-Lis handicap and the return of one of the top mares in the country, Forever Unbridled, and she really did make it look easy. The margin of victory about 1 3/4 lengths, but she was pretty much geared down and, as Jude said, drawing away at the end. And that's what you like to see, especially in a comeback race like this. Great training job by trainer Dallas Stewart, who is with us now here on the Equine Forum. Dallas, good morning. Appreciate a few minutes, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how about that performance? Did that go the way you wanted it to go?
Yeah, it really did. You know, probably even better than I was thinking it would. She, coming off a long layoff, I knew her works were good, and she was training well, and you know, we're confident of all that, but you just never know, you know, how tight they are until you run them. That's what we needed that question answered, and I think she did that, so I think we're right on track.
Yeah, she definitely answered that question. It was a magnificent training job on your part. There was a quote from Marty McGee that you called an audible. You were going to wait a week. What caused your mind to change?
Oh, we were just kicking around things, you know. I mean, trying to figure out, you know, I mean, they got the sprint race Saturday here. And, you know, just not her game. So we opted out of that, and this was the next spot. And then when we started really looking and writing stuff down of, you know, how do we get to the personal engine, we didn't want to go ship, you know, to Monmouth and then some other places. Just we're here, and we'll just run and see how fit she is. And that's what we came to. It was the right decision. Glad we did.
Yeah, we were talking about it on the coverage last week, right after the race, Dallas, that this was pretty much as easy a victory as you're going to see in a grade two. And what I mean by that is that Joelle really never had to get into Forever Unbridled and ask her to give her best, you know, and put her down. She just kind of did it all on her own. He never even took out the stick, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I kind of told him, don't be, you know, beating her up. We don't know how fit she is. Just take care of her and give her a good ride. And that's the way it went. She finished up full of run. He did a good job.
Yeah, the way she finished was so impressive to me, especially going that far off a layoff. She just made mincemeat of the field. Now, granted, maybe they weren't as good as she is, but there were a couple nice of fillies in there that could run.
Yeah, you know, I mean, nice fillies in there. They're ready to run. They've been running. You've got Big World coming off a grade one win here, you know, coming back for a repeat on this track. So you had to wonder, you know, she's going to be competitive. And Mods Filly ran terrific. You know, it just says a lot about her and about her family. You know, her mom won the Oaks here. Her sister won the Ballerina. She's won two grade one races. I mean, I don't think there's a stronger family in the world, if there is. You know, more power to them, but this is about as strong as it gets.
Dallas, we often talk about, as fillies and mares tend to get a bit older, we talk about how they can be a bit temperamental and they can change quickly. Well, it seems as if Forever Unbridled just continues to get better with age. What are you seeing from her in her five-year-old season?
Well, like I said, you know, she just, in her training, she just was like, give me more, keep going. Every work was better. Every gallop was better. Her weight was getting stronger as we went, and you know, just a tremendous performance. And she's just a real racehorse. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, we've been talking about the training job, and I sent you a note afterwards. I thought it was a tremendous training job to get her ready to go a mile and an eighth off of a long layoff like that. What's the key? How do you prepare a horse to get that distance off of a long layoff?
Well, they just have to have an enormous amount of stamina. You know, just natural stamina, which she does. And before we got back here, I believe in March, she was at Windstar, and they do a great job getting them ready. They sent her in early May, and she was ready to, you know, she was ready to train on. No hesitation about her. She had a good foundation from Windstar. She's a, you know, a horse that has a great endurance. She must have a strong, big lung capacity, and you know, she's just got it.
Well, I'm assuming that the Breeders' Cup distaff is going to be the main year-end goal. So talk about what her schedule might look like in the months to come.
I mean, it's pretty, you know, straightforward right now. The personal engine, I think it's August 26th or something right up in there. And then she can do the Beldame. She won that last year, and then right to the Breeders' Cup. So if everything, if she remains healthy, I think that'd be the plan at this point. You know, if something happens, we have to go a different route than we will. But I'd say that'd be the plan at this point.
It's a luxury to have a stakes horse because you know the races are going to go.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Well, she's now automatically qualified for a spot in the starting gate of the distaff by virtue of that win and year-end victory. Doesn't sound like that changes your approach at all moving forward.
No, I mean, you know, we're glad that actually, you know, it looks like it saves the owner some money, and that's a great thing. And Mr. Fipke's putting a lot into the game. I mean, he's poured everything into this game with his breeding operation and stallions. You know, he's got Tail of a Cotty. He's got several stallions, so he's got, you know, several mares, and, you know, he's constantly moving and shaking. He's a tremendous guy and a tremendous asset to this game. So it's great to have a good, real good one for him, and to see this family, you know, me being a part of this family for years. I bought Lemons Forever at the sale, at the yearling sale, and I owned a piece of it with the Hortons, and Mr. 50 bought it from us, and me still being in on that family is just a great, it's just like a dream. It's unreal.
Talk to you and trainer Dallas Stewart here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dallas, last year in the distaff, she finished less than a length and a half behind Beholder and Songbird. Well, Beholder, you don't have to worry about her anymore. She's now retired. Songbird came back at Belmont Park 2 weeks ago and looked really good winning the Ogden Phipps. Your thoughts on that performance by Songbird?
Just beautiful. Just great. I mean, she looked beautiful in the paddock. You know, she, Mike gave her a great ride. Just unbelievable. Just one for the ages. That's just what it is. Just one for the ages. Like, you know, Winning Colors, you know, Songbird, Beholder, you know, all top beautiful racehorses. So well prepared by Jerry Hollendorfer. And, you know, she brings her game every time. So you better be ready when you tangle with her.
Yeah, that's for sure. But your filly's right there with those. You know, maybe a length or so worse last year, but maybe this year, coming off that performance, this might be her year.
Yeah, it's a different year, different horse race, different venue. You know, I hope we make it to the race down there. I hope Reverend Bridle likes the track down there. You know, all things considered, it's a different year. I'm hopefully praying that we get there and we're able to compete.
Dallas, anybody else we can keep an eye on as we make our road to the Breeders' Cup in that Dallas Stewart stable?
I mean, she's pretty much the headliner right now. You know, Tom's ready. We got beat the other day in the Met Mile Fair and Square. We're trying to figure out where's the next stop for him. I mean, she's pretty much the Breeders' Cup horse for us right now. We've got a lot of two-year-olds that we're trying to get ready. I don't know if we'll be ready for Saratoga or not, but we're looking to be strong in September, October, November, get down to the fairgrounds and try to figure it out from there. You know, get them to these Triple Crown races healthy and let them compete. So that's the way it goes.
It's a little earlier than we usually ask you, but who's our Kentucky Derby hopeful for next year?
Oh, you're way too early for that. You better call Todd Pletcher and Wayne Lucas and Bob Baffert. They might have a better idea than I do right now.
Yeah, their horses are always a short price. I like betting on yours better.
Yeah, I hope you're calling me in October and November and we can discuss that. I really do. Got a nice colt for Mr. and Mrs. Benson, a pioneer, the Nile colt out of a Seeking the Gold mare. He seems to be pretty nice. And bought a Tappet colt down at the June sale. I mean, a wonderful colt. Bought it for some friends, and so we got several colts, and you know, we'll see. We'll just see how they train, and you know, we're here to train them, and hopefully they can compete later on and stay healthy. I still love what I'm doing, and glad to be a part of some of these horses. I own a piece of some of them, and it's exciting for me and my family, and just love the game. Just need more people to get in it.
Yeah, well said. How's Hollywood Handsome doing after that rough trip in the Belmont?
Man, he had a rough trip, didn't he? It's just, you know, just one of those things you never imagine a trip like that could happen. But thank God, you know, the horse didn't get too severely hurt. He had a little cut, put five staples in him. Got healed up well. He's back galloping. We might be able to work him next week. But thank God him or the jock didn't get hurt. It was just a nightmare trip, and just got to move on.
He's trainer Dallas Stewart, as good as it gets in terms of getting your horse ready for a big race. And can't thank him enough for spending a little time with us here this morning. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Dallas will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Dallas, appreciate it, my man. We'll catch up with you here soon. And all the best moving forward. And, of course, go Steelers.
And if we can get those Saints to win a couple of games this year and and knock the heck out of the Steelers, it'll be a great year.
Well said.
Y'all have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thanks, see you, Dallas.
Buddy. All right, Dallas Stewart here on HRRN. Always a lot of fun. And yeah, what a job he did with Forever Unbridled. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, when you talk to him publicly, he never seems to want to be the guy to take that credit. You know, he's very humble when you get a chance to talk to him. And that's one thing I love about Dallas Stewart.
He's a very underrated trainer. I mean, I don't think he gets the full credit that he deserves. He's done some amazing things with horses. He's a really talented guy. He's a really good guy. And I was able to get a couple of two-year-olds to watch out of him. It's not my first rodeo with Dallas, you know. Pioneer of the Nile, and we got to watch for that one. And you know, he doesn't pop off ever, but once in a while he'll let something sneak out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that always gives the horse the credit. Yeah. And as it should be. You know, the trainer, as you know, Jude, after training for 20 years, the trainer can do everything along the way. But in the end, it's the horse that has to perform when they lead him over in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, you know, the old racetrack saying is you can't make chicken salad out of dot, dot, dot.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, you got to have the basics. You got to have the horse, and the horse has to be willing to put forth the effort. And if you have that, then you're halfway home.
Yeah. Time now for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky. When we come back, we'll visit with Dan Torgman from EquestriCon and fill you in on some of the latest news happening around the conference, which comes up in August. That's all ahead right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On an early June day in 1945, a set of circumstances was culminated and climaxed by a win in the Kentucky Derby. In 1943, just before the opening of the very first yearling sale ever held at Keeneland, a contractor from Alabama was lolling about the lobby of Lexington, Kentucky's Hotel Lafayette. He met a fellow contractor from Tennessee who asked what he was doing there. The tall Alabaman, Mr. Fred C. Hooper, said, quote, "I thought I'd buy a couple of yearlings and find out what this racehorse business is all about." His friend, J. Warfield Rogers of Memphis, Tennessee, had been racing and breeding for some time and, of course, offered his assistance. Hooper asked if Rogers knew of a good trainer. Mr. Rogers said indeed he did, and Hooper then asked if he could be introduced to him. Rogers and Hooper met at the sale the next day, and as Ivan Park strolled by, Rogers indicated that he was one of the trainers he would certainly recommend. The two were introduced and spent the rest of the day together, with no agreement reached between them, looking at yearlings going into the auction arena, but neither bidding nor buying. They knew absolutely nothing of each other, but took the pains to carefully check each other out to mutual satisfaction, I might add, and the next afternoon, August 11, 1943, they sat together at the sale pavilion and patiently waited until the 34th yearling was led into the sales arena. Hooper jumped into the action, and quietly and determinedly bid to $10,200, for which he got the colt in which he was interested. He was now the owner of a high-priced thoroughbred. That youngster was put in the hands of former riding great Ivan Park to train, and on June 9, 1945, 2 years later, the casual introduction came to its climax. It was Derby Day in Louisville. 70,000 fans on hand neath the hallowed Twin Spires to watch the 71st run for the Roses on a very muddy racetrack. Hooper's horse was installed, too, in the crowded old-fashioned paddock at Churchill, and Hooper and Park stood in front of it greeting well-wishers as their horse approached. The son of Sir Galahad III had his front legs bandaged, and the padding covered an extraordinarily thick padding of cotton, which stretched from pastern to just above the knee. As he passed bystanders, there was a strong odor of medication. Jeep, owned by Colonel C.V. Whitney, was in stall 3, and Colonel Whitney, nattily attired in his army uniform, bowed to Mr. Hooper by a way of exchanging the social amenities of the moment. Ivor Balding, manager of the Whitney farm, exchanged a few pleasantries with Mr. Hooper as well. Tommy Piat visited every stall and spoke to every owner and trainer. At stall 7, Piat chatted with Warren Wright, who had pot of luck in the field. Wright congratulated Piat on come and goes winning the Kentucky Oaks. Ben Jones, Wright's trainer, came up and said, quote, "If we can beat the Hooper colt, we can win it. I don't think we can. His work the other day was marvelous, and he didn't even draw a deep breath," end of quote. The order from the paddock judge came to saddle up. Bandages were removed from Hooper's horse, revealing blister scars on the ankles, and the strong smell of medication was unmistakable. The ankles looked good, but they had obviously been sweated. Trainer Ivan Park's hands were trembling while saddling the horse. Mr. Hooper standing calmly with arms crossed and watching his stalwart. Riders up, came the call, and the rest, my friends, is history. On that muddy racetrack with 70,000 howling fans on hand, on June 9, 1945, Eddie Arcaro guided that horse to an uncontested wire-to-wire six-length win in rather easy fashion. That horse, the very first purchased by Fred C. Hooper, trained by Ivan Park, had fulfilled a dream. That thoroughbred, my friends, was Hoop Jr., and his owners and trainers' story provide, indeed, a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Fans, come on out to Santa Anita for great racing and much more this weekend. And remember, we'll close the current meet out with a big five-day week beginning next Friday, June 30th. Closing day is Tuesday, July 4th, so plan on some Paramutual fireworks here at the Great Race Place. A couple of Grade 3 stakes will take center stage this Saturday, as we'll have the Affirm for three-year-olds and the Precisionist for three-year-olds and up. Admission gates open Saturday at 11 a.m. First post time is at 1 o'clock. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Corey Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They race to the quarter. Anamese Gizmo's gone on by Shakamat, is able to come back a little bit, Shakamat, and running home well are Sir Dudley Dick, Scholar Athlete, then Esposito. Top of the lead in the Queen's Plate. Anamese Gizmo trying to tear away. Shakamat on the inside. Down the outer is Sir Dudley Diggs. Sir Dudley Diggs, the threat. Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate. Amis Gizmo second, All on Red third, and Scholar Athlete fourth.
Back on the Equine Forum, Mike Penn, Jude Feld, Robert Geller with the call of last year's Queen's Plate, and Sir Dudley Diggs winning it in the red and white colors of Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Julien Le Barou was in the irons. Next week, we'll bring you coverage of the Queen's Plate yet again. That's right, for the second consecutive year, we return north of the border to Woodbine Racetrack, where you can watch, wager, and win on the 158th running of the Queen's Plate. It's the first jewel in the Canadian Triple Crown. And yeah, the longest continuously run stakes race in North America. Woodbine going to be guaranteeing the early pick four pool at $150,000 and the late pick four pool at $300,000. And Woodbine will also be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, pick three, and pick four pools. Be sure to try your luck with the special Queen's Plate Thoroughbred pick five that's only offered next Sunday on plate day. That's $600,000 in guaranteed pick four and pick five pools that you can share in next Sunday, July 2nd. Visit queensplate.com to learn more and follow at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. Should be a good one.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's always a pleasure to be up at Woodbine, and they treat us so well, and the races are always fantastic. Great turf racing, and hopefully we have good weather.
12 probables at this point for that running of the Queen's Plate. You'll want to make sure that you stay tuned with us here coming up in the second half of the show as we visit with John Siskos from Woodbine. That's coming up at 9:35 Eastern. He'll give you a preview of what you could look forward to next weekend as part of that coverage. And we'll encourage you to head to horseracingradio.net to get more details on SiriusXM information and a listing of affiliates. And, of course, to listen worldwide, it's all there, horseracingradio.net. Well, it won't be long. We'll be in Saratoga to bring you our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series, all presented by visitbarbados.org. We'll also be bringing you some coverage from the 2017 Equestricon Conference, the first of its kind, and that comes up August 13th to the 15th in Saratoga Springs, and you can still buy tickets by going to equestricon.com. And for more on what's happening with the conference, let's get an update from Dan Torchman with Equestricon. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Jude, how you guys doing?
Good.
Everything is good, my friend. How about you? How are you holding up as we're getting closer to the big day?
I'm holding up pretty well. We're right at 50 days out now. Just a lot of excitement building. We've been in Saratoga this week, actually trying to kind of get some people together. We had a small event for some of our sponsors and some of our partners and supporters here in the city. And it was incredible. Just the energy and the enthusiasm. And you mentioned the 13th through the 15th. The reality is the 13th is already pretty much sold out. So if anyone is listening and wants to get in on the first day of the convention, they got to go to equestricon.com right now and lock up those tickets. August 14th and 15th will be at the Saratoga Springs City Center. And there are still tickets remaining for those. So, there's a lot of excitement building, and we're starting to see those tickets go, too.
You got to be living on adrenaline, huh?
That's how I always live.
That's probably true.
When you're in racing, I mean, anyone who's in this sport and who loves it and who breathes it, and who, especially those who work in it, know that it's a 24/7 commitment. It's not a job. It's certainly something that you got to be committed to, though. And me and my partners, Justin Nicholson, Catherine Sharp, we're all in on this thing.
How about the panel that I'm hosting, Dan? How long has that one been sold out?
Overwhelming.
They're actually giving away free tickets to that panel. They can't sell it.
Got a few left. I think we got a few tickets left.
Well, all right. For people that have not heard about EquestriCon and they're wondering, what on earth are you talking about? Fill people in on what they can expect over these couple of days in Saratoga.
Sure. I mean, essentially, you know, if I were to make any sort of, you know, adjustment to any description that I've heard and that you mentioned, and certainly no knock on the way you described it, but it's not necessarily a conference. What this is a convention for fans. It's an opportunity for fans at every level, from your casual fan to your, you know, your horse player to your prospective owner, someone who's thinking about, you know, getting into racing more seriously as a career. It's an opportunity for all of those people to come together under one roof and connect and network with the people who drive the sport, the owners, the trainers, the breeders, the horse players, people who are decision makers at racetracks from around the country and around the world, people who are in the marketing and media departments, people who are in media like you guys. It's really just an opportunity for everyone to get together and celebrate the sport, learn more about it. It's, you know, we say education, entertainment, and engagement. So those are the three big things. And essentially, it's a three-day convention. Like I said, Sunday is selling out. Monday and Tuesday, though, still some tickets left. So it's an opportunity for people to get involved with the sport and to just essentially learn more about it.
It's so exciting. I think it's the best thing that's happened to racing in a long, long time. I can't wait to see how it goes and to, you know, participate and be there. I got a whole box of Sharpies waiting for people for that want Mike Pena's autograph.
And those Sharpies are going to go to waste.
Well, I'll give them to Lucas when he's
Yeah, we'll have to give them to Baffert.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, again, it's like I said, we held a small event here in Saratoga this week where people came out, a couple of people from the community came out just to kind of learn a little bit more about the event. And we had Don Little there from Centennial Farms, and we had, you know, Terry Finley from West Point. We had Jack Wolf from Starlight. And the responses that we've gotten from just the few people who were there are, oh, my God, I can't believe I got to speak to Don Little. He was so cool. He was so nice. He was so friendly. And Tom Durkin was there. Oh, my God, I got to speak to Tom Durkin. It's moments like that, creating those sort of authentic moments that, you know, if you weren't quite sure that you wanted to dive headfirst into this sport, when you meet those kinds of people, there's no way, there's no other choice but to get sucked in. And I think that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're not going after one person. We're not going only after the new fan or only after the existing fan. We want everyone to feel part of this sport and part of this experience. So, I, you know, we're trying to create as many of those moments as possible.
Talking with Dan Torjman from EquestriCon, the convention coming up August 13th to the 15th, 2017, and that's in Saratoga Springs, New York, and you can purchase your tickets by going to EquestriCon.com. Dan, some other big news coming out this week regarding your keynote speaker. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we're really excited about this media icon and, you know, really just sort of legendary, you know, international media personality, Soledad O'Brien, is going to deliver the Aftercare keynote on Monday, August 14th. She's a retired racehorse owner and rider herself. She actually didn't know much about horses she didn't know much about horse racing. I'll say that. She actually rode when she was younger, but she didn't really know that much about thoroughbreds. And, you know, her perception of thoroughbreds were that they were wild and tough to manage and, you know, not necessarily, you know, horses, you know, for owning for her and for her kids. But she and her two daughters ride, and, you know, they've fallen in love with, you know, not only their OTTVs, but just this whole idea that, you know, racing cares for its horses. And once they're off the track, that they're second homes for them. So they've gotten their horses from Akindale, which is, you know, one of the 64 accredited TAA organizations one of the 64 organizations that TAA accredits, and TAA is the official charity of EquestriCon, so there's a really cool connection there. So, yeah, so she'll be delivering a keynote Monday, August 14th. Rare opportunity, really, to hear from her and, you know, for her to share some of those experiences.
You mentioned that she's a retired racehorse owner. Maybe we'll kind of get her hooked again with some of those panels at EquestriCon.
Yeah, she'll actually be moderating a panel as well on aftercare. So, basically, she goes from delivering the keynote to moderating a panel. And then we told her about some of the entertainment, including, you know, the Equestricade, the racing arcade, and, you know, all the various things we have lined up in terms of just entertainment on the convention floor. And she said that she was going to, like, you know, fully immerse herself. You know, we have, like, virtual reality goggles that will simulate riding a horse. She's like, I'm going to push people out of the way to get to that. She's like, I need that. Like, I need to experience those VR goggles. She's like, because I can't go really fast. I can't go fast in real life, but in virtual reality, I think I might be able to do it. So we're just so excited to have her. I mean, truly, it's an honor to have her at a convention, at a first-year convention. She really hasn't done anything with horse racing before, so to have her kind of dip her toe in this way is really cool.
You know, Dan, it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, we'll encourage people to go to equestricon.com to purchase their tickets now, especially if they want to attend the Sunday events. And keep an eye on that conference, the convention, I should say, coming up August 13th to the 15th in Saratoga. Appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for being with us. Like all of our guests, you're going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks. Dan Torgman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And yeah, I'll tell you, it's going to be a busy Saratoga for us. We'll bring you exclusive coverage of all the major stakes races every single Saturday throughout the entire meet. That's seven consecutive Saturdays. It's our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series, which is presented by visitbarbados.org. And then kind of in the middle of all of that, we'll mix in a little bit of coverage of that Equestricon conference, the 13th to the 15th.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. We should see if Embrace the Race has bow ties, because Dan always wears a bow tie.
Yeah, he does.
Do they have bow ties?
I don't know.
They should if
it's
they don't.
Good question.
A lot of people like to wear them to the track.
Why don't you go to embracetherace.com and see if we can find out?
I can do that.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back and get you set for the second half of the program. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
as they come to the top of the stretch. Songbird on the outside now recaptures the lead from paid-up subscriber as they straighten out. Highway Star trying to make a race of it. Karina Mia's fourth on the far outside. Mike Smith just shakes the reins here with a furlong to run. She's got Songbird. Songbird in front by a half a length. Paid-up subscriber trying to stick with her late, but she is back. This fantastic filly wins the fence. Songbird over paid-up subscriber, Highway Star, and Karina Mia.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Ogden Phipps, and Songbird returning to the races victorious 2 weeks ago at Belmont Park. She was ridden by jockey Mike Smith, and the Hall of Famer is going to be with us in just about 10 minutes from right now at 9 o'clock Eastern time, and looking forward to the visit because Mike had one heck of a day at the Belmont, winning five stakes races. Boy, just tremendous, and teaming up with Hall of Famer Bob Baffert for many of those victories. Of course, Songbird trained by Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer, and looking forward to the visit with Mike. He'll talk about Songbird. He'll talk about More Spirit. But I want to ask him, Jude, when you have a day like that as a jockey, and I guess maybe as a trainer too, but I think almost more as a jockey because you're in the moment and you know you're actively participating in the running of the race, is it like a hitter in baseball who gets into a zone, or a quarterback that just can't throw an interception no matter what he does? Is it like that type of thing? Do you just find yourself in a zone?
Well, I think he was probably in the zone, but he was riding a lot of nice horses that day.
That helps.
That had a really good chance. I mean, when you're hitting a baseball, it's you against the pitcher, and you have to have the skills and whatever. And Mike certainly has the skills to ride racehorses, and he rode just fantastically that day. But I think there's a lot more. It's more of a partnership.
Yeah.
You know? With the rider and the horse, and if you don't, Corey Black told me one time, you can't ride a good race on a bad horse, and you can ride a bad race on a good horse, but he didn't do that. So he probably was in a certain zone. I think mentally, riders get up if they know they are riding a lot of live horses. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been around a lot of jockeys that I know personally and socially, and if they have a big day coming up, they know they've got some live mounts. They get up for it just like any athlete would if they think they have a good chance. But pulling it off is a whole another story.
Yeah, as somebody who has obviously never ridden in a race, you hear hitters, and I did play baseball through college, and I can relate to this. You hear hitters talk about being able to, see the rotation of the pitch and pick up the seams on the baseball. I mean, that's how good they're seeing the ball when they're really in that zone. And you do hear quarterbacks talk about, knowing, okay, boom, I'm going to put the ball here and it's going to go right where it's supposed to go. And no matter what I do, there's no way I'm throwing an interception. And you'll hear about those types of things in all sports. And I just wonder if for jockeys, they're just seeing the game better. They're seeing the race better. They're seeing the holes open up even before they open up. I don't know if that exists or not.
I think it does, but it'll be great to hear Mike's response to that question and see how he feels about it. But I think sometimes riders that are on hot streaks, that it's just like gamblers on hot streaks. It's like you're operating with a whole different racing form.
That's another good way to put it. Yeah.
Sometimes
when you're betting horses and you're going well,
yeah,
for whatever reason, it just seems like you're seeing everything the way you're supposed to see it.
Right. The horses start popping off the page at you, And I think when you're riding races, it's kind of the same way. You mentioned you see the holes opening up before they actually open up, and I think your mind has a way of working that out, So it's going to be interesting to hear what Mike has to say.
What's it like to be in the zone when you're handicapping horses?
It's great.
As somebody who's never done it.
It's it's so good. I mean, when you're going good, I mean, it's just like this amazing feeling. And the thing that you can always leave it to Andy Beyer to come up with something to bring you down to earth. But in one of his books, he talks about the Messiah complex. I mean, when you're going good, you honestly believe that whatever horse you pick is going to win, and you have to avoid that because we all know that, we're not soothsayers,
right?
But sometimes when you're going good, you just see, you know, this horse is just coming into form, and you may miss it. If you're going bad, you may miss little subtle details, you know. So it is a great experience when things are going your way. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. And we're going to talk to Mike Smith because he is nothing short of awesome, and he has been throughout much of that Hall of Fame career. Again, that interview coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. John Siskos is going to be with us in the second half of the show as well. John is the Director of Communications at Woodbine. And as we told you, next Saturday, this show will be live from Woodbine in Ontario, Canada. And then Sunday, we'll bring you our exclusive coverage of the Queen's Plate. And looking forward to getting back to Woodbine and bringing you all that coverage. But John is going to look ahead to the Queen's Plate and let you know which horses and trainers and jockeys and owners you can expect to see throughout the weekend, next weekend. And then sandwiched in between all of this in the second half of the show, we had a chance to visit with Rodolphe Brisé on Trainer Talk this past week. He's the former assistant to Hall of Famer Bill Mott, went out on his own in early April, just saddled his first winner this past week, and we're going to get a chance to talk to or to hear from Rodolphe, and we'll play a clip from that interview that you can listen to the full show on our website, horseracingradio.net, but we want to bring you a clip or two from Rodolphe and some of the nice things he had to say about Hall of Famer Bill Mott.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun doing that show, and Rodolphe's a guy that is really going places. He has a great attitude and a great vision for his stable, and I think he's going to be one of the ones.
All right, it's time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at some of the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Battle of Midway using the Affirmed as a prep for the Haskell. That's right, Battle of Midway may face a short field in this afternoon's Grade 3 Affirmed Stakes at Santa Anita, but at least one of his connections is a little disappointed. Don Alberto Stables racing manager Fernando Diaz Valdez would have liked to see a larger field for the son of Smart Strike to test himself in his prep for the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational at Monmouth on July 30th. He said, quote, "I'm very disappointed." He said, Battle of Midway scheduled to make his first start since third place finish in the Kentucky Derby. Alberto owns the colt in partnership with Windstar Farm, and he went on to say, "I love the competition. I don't want to run in a 4 or 5 horse race. That is how you evaluate them. Run against good competition. If you're a good horseman, you want the competition." And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to Blood Horse. And there's no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more than with Blood Horse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you. Their website, BloodHorse.com, the Blood Horse Daily app, Blood Horse Magazine, and of course, their social media, where you can follow Blood Horse on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. No one covers thoroughbred racing, breeding, and our sport like Blood Horse. For over 100 years, it's Blood Horse. I don't know. Do you agree with that? I think if I'm running in a $100,000 stakes and it can be 3 horses, I'm okay with that.
Well, it depends.
I'm fine with that.
Ordinarily, I would agree with you. The fewer competitors you have, the better chance you have to win. But sometimes, in those short fields, they're not truly run races. The pace is a bigger factor. You know, if you have a come from behinder, let's say, and you're in a 3-4 horse field, there might not be much pace. They might walk on the lead, and it depends on the horse. Like everything in racing, it depends on the horse's style. But sometimes you can get in those short fields, and it's really harmful to your horse's performance. So I would say, you know, ideally you'd like to have 8 or 10 horses at least in a race to make it legit.
That Haskell should be solid.
Oh, you think?
Right? I mean, I think it should be pretty good. You're not going to have the Derby winner.
Right.
He's looking at the Jim Dandy at Saratoga, which, by the way, we'll have that exclusive coverage of Always Dreaming's return in the Jim Dandy. But the Haskell going to be pretty good, too.
Oh, it's going to be very deep. It's going to be a great race. And the good news is I get to go as a fan.
That's right. That's right.
I will be there at Monmouth. Should get some press credentials, however.
Contact our man up there. He'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a great great day of racing on the Jersey Shore, as it always is. And, of course, a great day of racing up in Saratoga with the Jim Dandy coming up the day before. So make sure you visit horseracingradio.net for our entire Saturdays at Saratoga schedule and our entire Road to the Breeders' Cup broadcast schedule, all posted horseracingradio.net. And follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter. And, of course, you can do that Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. When we come back, hour number two and Hall of Famer Mike Smith. This is HRRN.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Royal Mowen, Gormley battling strongly. Gormley looming into the lead now. Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
Always Dreaming, set down for the drive by John Velasquez, and he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second, an impressive edge. Canavera too little, too late. But inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher. And Always Dreaming, they won it by four in the end.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. Want to welcome everybody back to the program, and if you missed any portion of the first half of the show, our interviews with Dallas Stewart or with Dan Torjman, you can head on over to horseracingradio.net and check out the podcast at your leisure. You can also do that Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. And of course, we welcome everyone tuning in throughout North America this morning on Sirius 219, XM 206, and all of you tuning in worldwide with our live streaming, which is available every time we are on the air at horseracingradio.net. Fun first half, JT. Looking forward to the second half of the show now.
Yeah, absolutely. Got Mike Smith on tap.
Yeah, no better way to kick it off than with the Hall of Famer and the all-time wins leader in the history of the Breeders' Cup. Well, he added to his Hall of Fame legacy 2 weeks ago at Belmont Park when he won five races on the program. And Mike is with us now here on HRN. Mike, appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, and happy to have you on board as always. All right, I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that I'm going to take a little credit for those five wins on Belmont Day, because you were kind enough to spend a little time with me the day before and do an interview looking back on the life and career of Holy Bull, and the next thing I know, we do an interview and you go out and win five races. So, you know, I think I'm partly responsible.
Well, let's keep it going.
Well, I'll also apologize to you because I may have stopped that streak on you too, because you won five races. We were so busy getting ready for our broadcast, I didn't have time to handicap and bet many races, but I decided to make one bet on a horse by the name of Sadler's Joy in the Woodford Reserve Manhattan. Sadler's Joy finished third, and that stopped your five-race streak. So I apologize, my friend.
No, that's all right. He still ran well. He ran very well.
Yeah, and by the way, if you could have gotten second, I would have had the exact of the trifecta and everything else, but hey, we're not going to get into that. Hey, well, listen, when we were talking about this in the first half of the program today, Mike, when a jockey has a day like that and you're winning five races, sometimes more, is it like a hitter in baseball or a quarterback in the NFL where you get into a zone and you just can't seem to do anything wrong? Does it work like that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, somewhat, quite a bit, actually. I mean, your confidence level certainly shoots way up, but in saying all that, I mean, each horse is an individual, and they're all different, and you have to have the, you know, you have to have the trips to go along with the talent, and that day everything was just coming together, you know. That's why it's very difficult to do things like that. You don't see it, you know, done very often, although, you know, I've I've certainly seen it done before and seen it actually even more wins in a row before, but it takes a whole lot to go right to get something like that done.
Yeah, because it's not only you, but the other riders around you, and you were riding horses that were, you know, big contenders, so there's a good chance that somebody's going to try to keep you in a box or shut you off or whatever. So it's not the easiest accomplishment.
No, it certainly isn't, but I was well mounted. I mean, I had some really live horses going in, and Bob and Jerry had them horses really primed and ready to run their race, and all we needed was a trip, and we got it. You know, we got it just about every time going out of there, of course, until the grass race, you know, when I hit the side of the gate leaving there. But other than that, I mean, it was just going incredible.
Yeah, speaking of those trips, Mike, that was one aspect of our discussion earlier in the program. When you're a hitter in baseball, you'll hear people describe being able to see the rotation of the ball or see the seams. That's how good they're seeing it. When you're winning multiple races in a day and things are going exactly the way they're supposed to go, do you start, even at your level, being a Hall of Famer, do you start seeing holes before they open up? And, I mean, is the race kind of slowed down for you even a little bit?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. When you're on a roll and you got your confidence level going up and you're really focused, man, you just slow everything down and you just see things, you know. And they're happening very quick. You know, it's crazy how easy you can see them sometimes when the things are going that fast. But when you're on a roll like that, your mind's clear, everything's going well, the horse is moving forward and it's responding every time you ask it, and it's just up to you to give it the trip at that point. And you know, like I said, things are just working out for all of them, really, you know, that day. So very, very blessed day.
Yeah, it was a very unique day, and it was a pleasure to watch those horses run so well, and you do such a great job. I was watching all the races from Ascot this weekend. I was wondering why you're not there.
Well, I'd love to be. Man, I tell you that, I've gotten the opportunity one time, it's been a few years back, to ride a race over there, and just, you know, I finished third, actually, but a bit of a long shot, but man, I just enjoyed it so much and would give anything for a shot to get back there with a live horse.
We got to work on that. I'm going to start a campaign, Mike Smith for Royal Ascot.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah,
I think that course suits you, and you know, the racing's so good. I think you'd just be outstanding there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'd certainly love the opportunity to add that to my career. That would be amazing to win a race at Royal Ascot.
Mike, let's talk about a couple of the really, really top horses that you've been aboard, especially 2 weeks ago at Belmont Park. And we'll start with Songbird, who won the Ogden Phipps, that win in your end for the Breeders' Cup Distaff. She came back to the races, and she was all heart. Take us through that race.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much what it looked like. I mean, she really was. I mean, she was ready for that race. She broke extremely well. She left the gate really, really well, which she does quite a bit. She just seems to have a knack for it. I hope she keeps it up, you know, good Lord's willing. But she got away really well, was able to get away with you know, not too stiff of a first quarter of a mile. I mean, I was able to, I think it was 23 and change, I believe it was. In doing that, though, I knew there was a horse or two that could make a good early run at her. One was being to my outside with Karina Mia, and the other filly to my inside of Chad Brown's. And so I chose just to kind of stay off the fence a bit, just in case Karina Mia made an early run at me. I'd have some room to work with as far as getting over to the rail. And if the other filly wanted to move early on me, I'd rather her move to my inside so that I could continue to sit and wait than both of them move to my outside. Mainly because she'd been off, coming off a long layoff. If she wasn't coming off a long layoff and she'd already had a race, I wouldn't have worried about it so much. But I just didn't want to have to move any sooner than I thought that I needed to. Been off 7 months, so I wanted to make sure and not do too much too soon. And it kind of just worked out that way where, you know, the filly run up to my inside and I didn't have to move. I was able just to kind of let her run up there head and head with me. And, of course, that made my filly engage just enough to keep her on the bridle. I mean, it worked out great, and then we headed for home, and when I asked her to run, I mean, she went ahead and got on by him, and of course, at the end, she was getting tired, but, I mean, she was still I hadn't had to get after her very, very hard, and she's still well, you know, won well within herself, and I was very proud of the way she ran. She got a whole lot out of that. I've breathed her since, and wow, she's come out of that race just unbelievable, even better than I was hoping, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think after the race, we talked about it a little bit, and even though she got late, I said that's going to really spell trouble for the filly she runs against next time, because that race is going to really propel her.
Boy, it should. You know, like I said, she got a little tired, you know, kind of blow just a little bit, but she recovery time was real good, come right back, and wow, I mean, that race has really, really moved her forward. I mean, I worked her, I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, and then, I mean, she just floated around there and came off that track just full of herself, so we're happy with the way she came back.
Yeah, if you could put your finger on one thing, Mike, with Songbird, what is it that makes her so special?
Well, with all of them that are good, they have a lot of talent. They're fast, you know, but you can't just be fast. I mean, there's got to be, you know, you got to have a mind to go with it. And she's just so intelligent, so smart about racing. She's got it down pat, you know, even from the start to the finish. I mean, she gets in there and stands. She focuses a lot on herself, and she doesn't make very many mistakes, if any. So she's just extremely talented filly.
Yeah, the other grade one, or the other winning you're in on the docket was the Metropolitan Handicap, and it is a grade one, and More Spirit just dominated the race, winning by 6 1/4 lengths. Take me through that trip and talk about More Spirit's win.
Well, here's a horse that's really really on the improve. Every race, even from his first one where he was beat the first two times, you know, they just got better and they got better and they got better. We got over to Oaklawn, and I mean, he just ran a dynamite race over to Oaklawn. Went from there into the Steve Sexton Mile there in Dallas, which you wouldn't think would be a way to get into the Met Mile, but it was a great move on Bob's part where he got even more confident coming out of that race and was able to win well within himself as well. And just was thriving. I mean, was doing really, really good. And when he got down to New York, Bob was just telling me how good this horse is doing. And I know he's talented. I know that there was more talent there than people knew. And I think he showed that day. He ran a dynamite race that day.
Yeah, simply tremendous. More Spirit punching his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. We're visiting with Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, how about an update on the big horse, Arrowgate, who is awaiting Del Mar for his return? Have you gotten a chance to get out there and see him, and have you been aboard him in any of the morning workouts?
No, I don't get on him at all in the morning, but I've seen him. I see him just about every morning he's out there. I mean, he just looks he looks like he's ready right now. He's doing really, really well. Full of himself in the morning, galloping really good and strong, and just can't wait for him to get back. I mean, he looks even better than last year, to be honest with you.
How hard is it to wait on him?
Well, you're just excited, you know, getting those kind of races. But, I mean, it's just so fun to watch him, even if he's just galloping. You know, so even though you have to wait, it's just fun, you know, it's fun being out there watching him. But it'll be about time for him to get back and get back to work. And, boy, I certainly can't wait. And I know his fans can. I mean, he's starting to really get a big fan base. You know, Bob's just talking about how good he's doing. So I'm really excited about him coming back.
Yeah, and currently ranked the number one horse in the world. And, Mike, I think you would agree that ranking is justified.
I would have to say so. There's a lot of times, you know, you have arguments for these kind of situations, but I don't think you'd get much of an argument from anybody around the world right now, to be honest with you. After his Dubai World Cup, I mean, it really showed how good he is.
Yeah, that was well, pretty much every race he runs is exceptional, but that was in another realm, actually.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, well, Mike Smith with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and Arrowgate awaiting that race at Del Mar in the middle of July before he makes his return. Mike, is that the San Diego? Is that right? Do I have it correct?
As far as I know, it is.
Yeah,
That's what they're going to point for, as far as I know.
That's a handicap, so you can eat a little bit extra.
There you go. That don't hurt either. Yeah,
not at all. Well, Mike, listen, we appreciate you being up early with us here this morning, and all the best moving forward. Thank you for always taking the time, and we'll catch up with you here soon, my friend.
Man, thanks for having me on. Hope to talk to you guys soon.
All right, safe trip.
Yes, sir.
That's Hall of Famer Mike Smith with us here on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. That's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Guy's all class, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's early in the morning, too, for him.
Yeah, but he doesn't care. He's up early every morning.
He's a horse guy. He's a fitness buff. He's an Iron Man, really.
Yeah.
Guy's incredible.
I didn't want to ask him during the interview because I didn't want to put him on the spot here on the radio, but I wonder how much longer a guy like Mike Smith is going to continue to do this. I mean, how long do you go?
Well, I think...
I guess when you're getting on Songbird... And you're getting on More Spirit, and you're getting on Arrowgate.
And now I got him on the Ascot kick. I really think people are missing the boat not having him at Ascot. I really do. I mean, I think he would put on a riding clinic at Ascot.
He puts on a riding clinic everywhere.
I know. But that court, talk about a course that favors him. You know, he's very smart. He's great. He's a great finisher. You know. He said he rode one horse and finished third. I mean, that's pretty good in itself.
Yeah.
I know it's a small sample, but he said the horse was a big price. I just think he might be the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, he's been the guy many, many times at many racetracks, and our thanks to Mike for spending a little time with us and looking back on that huge day 2 weeks ago at Belmont Park. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, you're going to hear a clip from our trainer talk show this past week with Rodolphe Brise. That's coming up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
In today's handicapping environment, information is vital.
Biasbook.net.
Was speed holding or did the track favor closers?
Biasbook.net.
You don't have time to gather bias information for all your favorite tracks, so let us do it for you.
Biasbook.net.
Track bias notes from across the U.S. and Canada. Keeneland, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Woodbine. Track bias made easy.
Biasbook.net.
Your source for the bias horse.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Multiple Grade 1 winner First Samurai by Giant's Causeway got off to a quick start at stud, siring Grade 1 winners in each of his first three crops. His talented son, Lee, captured the Grade 1 Don Handicap in record time and retired to stud with over $2.3 million in earnings. Sovereign Award winner Stacked Deck captured the Grade 3 Bulge Venture Stakes and Grade 2 Kennedy Road Stakes, both just a tick off track record times. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Four starts in his career. At four different distances in a brand new setting. Timeline unblemished. wins the Betfair.com Pegasus and the league.
Timeline remained undefeated with that victory in the Grade 3 Pegasus at Monmouth. Now a perfect 4-for-4, the son of Darley Stallion Hard Spun is being pointed to the Grade 1 Haskell in his next start. And that impressive effort makes Timeline your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Dan Zigg's last Grade 1 winning son who sired more First Crop Stakes winners than any other stallion. Timeline is one of 5 greatest stakes winners this year for Hard Spun. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
To my standpoint, I would say experience, and I said before, be a good trainer, but not especially being a good horseman. Some people said I'm wrong when I say that, but I think it's two different things. Some people can train her off, but that doesn't mean they are a really good horseman. Bill Motti, one of, he's got balls, that's for sure.
That's trainer Rodolphe Brise talking about his mentor, Hall of Famer Bill Mott. Several people can train a horse, but they're not necessarily good horsemen. Great take from Rodolphe, and I think that is very, very true when you think about Bill Mott and his career and his legacy. The guy is flat out a great horseman, first and foremost, and he can train a few horses too. Good show with Rodolphe, JT. Really enjoyed that trainer talk show this past week, and people can go back and listen to the entire show on our website, horseracingradio.net. We have another clip coming up in just a moment or two that you're going to hear Rodolphe talking about Bill Mott's greatest training jobs that he ever saw him do when he was with him for nearly a decade.
Yeah, well, he worked for Bill for a long time, and the trainer talk show, it's not really about Bill Mott. Bill Mott's included, but
right.
When you listen to the trainer talk show, you'll learn a lot about Rodolphe and how he has such an interesting take on training horses and the way he wants his stable to let the horses do the talking, so to speak. And that's kind of Mott's style as well, but he's a guy that's very contemplative about his horses, and
mm-hmm.
and he really puts a lot into what he does, and it's going to be a nice recipe for success.
Now you're going to hear that clip coming up momentarily. We told you earlier that you can attend the Equestricon convention coming up in Saratoga, and we are proud to be the official radio partner of Equestricon 2017. One other event on the docket in Saratoga, and there are so many, but Thoroughfan and our good friend Mike Amo, who has done a tremendous job over the past several years with his Thoroughfan organization, will host their 5th annual awards brunch, and that's going to be held at Saratoga August 12th at the Embassy Suites in downtown Saratoga. Registration begins at 9 a.m. on August 12th, and the program follows at 9:30 a.m. Donna Barton Brothers is going to be their keynote speaker, and trust me, she is tremendous. You won't want to miss her if you're going to be in town in Saratoga that week. And our very own Acacia Courtney, graduate of HRN, who is now working at Gulfstream Park, is going to MC the event. So make sure you check it out. You can get more information and purchase tickets by going to thoroughfan.com/awards. That's thoroughfan.com/awards. And check out the Thoroughfan Annual Awards Brunch August 12th in Saratoga Springs. All right, well, we told you that Rodolphe Brise was our guest on Trainer Talk this week, and yeah, he spent an hour and he talked about his life and his career and how he got started in the game, and then he talked about some of the goals that he's looking to achieve moving forward. But he also spent some time talking about his mentor and wonderful friend, Bill Mott. And one question that was asked of him in that hour-long interview was to tell us the best training job or training feat that was ever performed by Bill Mott when he was working with him for nearly a decade. And here's what Rodolphe had to say.
When Emollient won the
the grade one in Kinland, the 3 years old grade one in Kinland on the poly. She ran in a Gulfstream Park Oaks 7 days earlier. I was in Dubai with Royal Delta. I flew back from Dubai and then took my car and drove to Kinland beginning of April. And the horses, they come in and I'm looking at Emollient in front of me. And I call him, I call the boss and I say, why Emollient is here? And he said, so we are seven days out of the Ashland. The race was the Ashland. And she just ran the day before. And I'm like, so what are you going to do? He said, oh, well, you know, get on her and see how she's acting and see how she's doing. And then maybe I'm running her back in 7 days. So we're talking about running from a finishing dead last beat by 30 legs on the dirt on a Saturday and then run her 7 days later in a grade one when he was a grade two the week before. And I mean, that's, you know, we stay in touch the whole week, every day we talk. And, you know, I was lucky enough to know Emollient very good. So I was always kind of rider. So he ended up making the choice to run her. And then she drew the 12 or the 13 on the outside. He was a mile and 16. And, you know, Mike Smith was on her and he dropped the rein and she won the gate to wire. I mean, it's pretty amazing to be able to run off that quick back on a grade one and won. That was, I was very, you know, he was very impressive to me. This is definitely one of my memories, you know, one of the good memory. One of the other movies, when Flat Out won the Seeger Mile 3 weeks before, that's also, so he ran the classic and, you know, after he didn't, you know, the horse didn't really run as expected in a classic. And Mr. Prescott, you know, the owner, was thinking about having, you know, retiring and having him as a stallion. You know, he won a couple of grade ones, so he's a nice horse. So, you know, they came up to the barn after the Breeders' Cup Classic, and you can feel they were disappointing of the horse, the way he ran, but at the same time, the horse was safe, and they were thinking about his future as a stallion. And I will always remember the boss coming in the conversation, you know, with Mr. Prescott, and told him, said, you know, that horse always run a better race for me as a miler than a mile and quarter. And he pretty much were able to talk for 10-15 minutes with Mr. Prescott, and having the horse in the plane to Payson. The horse trained in Florida for 3 weeks, and he came back in New York and won the Seeger Mile. And I thought that was one of the most impressive, you know, move from Bill, because, you know, sometimes if the owner have his mind and wants to retire the horse and wants to give him a shot as a stallion, it's very difficult to go against it. And I don't think the boss went against it, but he did give why he's got his mind. And we're talking about 2 hours after the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the horse just got beat by, you know, 15 legs. And 2 hours later, he come up with that idea and said let's take him down to Payson and train the horse and then see how he's doing, and then come back 3 weeks later and won the Seeger Mile. Ooh, it's a very important race. If you have a stallion prospect, the Seeger Mile, it's a really, really cool race to win.
Yeah, a cool race to win, and some cool decisions being made by Hall of Famer Bill Mott when Rodolphe was his assistant, and now Rodolphe is out on his own and already off to a great start, having won his first race about a week ago. And you can head over to horseracingradio.net to hear that entire hour-long visit with Rodolphe. But, Jude, I think you followed up that answer by Rodolphe, and you said, oh, you mean you can run a horse back in 7 days? I thought that was pretty good, because oftentimes now in this era of thoroughbred racing, we think, okay, you know, horses are fragile. They're not like they used to be. We can't run the... In my opinion, that's just a joke when you start hearing people say those types of things. I don't think that's the case at all.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about it. I feel the same way.
I think the money has changed the game more than anything, right? And the opportunities with all these different graded stakes all over the country.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But I think, you know, people blame Lasix. And I just think a lot of it has to do with stats and trainers not wanting to run their horses in races where they're not favored. And there's a lot more scratching that goes on, and seasons are longer, and there's lots of different factors involved. But I think stats have a lot to do with it. You know, but sometimes you just have to have the courage of your convictions. And I remember one time these people, they claimed a cheap horse for $10,000, and he was an absolute crow. And I ran him at Santa Anita on a Friday, and he ran last. He was a speed horse. His name was Pyramid Zots. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. So Saturday, they hung up a mile extra on the overnight for Wednesday, and I put him right back in because he needed to make the lead, and he couldn't make the lead against the horses at Santa Anita going short. So I put him back in for Wednesday, put Martin Pedroza on him, and the owners were like so depressed when he lost on Friday. And then I told him he was back in for on Wednesday, and they thought I had lost my mind. And they all came out on Wednesday, and Martin took the, I said, take this horse to the lead. Just put him on the lead. Don't screw around. And he went right to the front, went wire to wire, and they were so excited. They won a race with this horse.
Right.
And then the next time out, he got claimed, which that made me really excited.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't run much.
Yeah, I think you're right on the stats angle of it all. I think so many trainers now, you know, when a prospective owner, especially a new owner, gets into the game and they start looking at which trainers they want to use for their horses, one of the first things they look at, if not the first thing, is what their win percentage is.
Yeah.
And people are so cognizant of that now, and they try to really cherry pick their spots. And that's why I said the plethora of graded stakes and the plethora of racing that is out there now adds to that too, because you have so many options. You don't have to run every single week or every 2 weeks. You can wait because you know you're going to have another opportunity 3, 4, 5 weeks down the road.
Right. And a lot of it too is racing departments. You know, they write a book, it has, you know, 9 or 10 races in it. Then there's 2 or 3 extras in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put another 5 or 6 on the overnight. So you can't train for a race. You don't know where your horse is going to run. And the other side of that coin is that the reason that field sizes are down, they don't like force anybody to run in a race, you know, that's maybe not 100% perfect. Like, let's say you have a horse that runs 6 furlongs and the race is in the book 6.5. In the old days, there were no extras going 6 that you could sneak a horse into.
Right.
You either ran in the 6.5 or you waited 2 weeks. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to run your horse back, you had to run in the 6.5. You know, and they don't do that anymore. There's so many extras out there that...
Well, I was going to ask you that, and this may be blasphemy, but what if you did away with the extras?
Well,
or limited it to, you know, one extra or something?
I think that's wise. And I think one of the other problems is that the racing secretaries just write what I call rubber stamp books. You look at the book, and every year it's the same.
Right.
But your horse population changes every year. You have to have horses... You have to know... As a racing secretary, what horses you have on the grounds, what races they're going to run in. You know, I was lucky enough to work around Mr. Kilrow, and he used to keep track of it by hand. And later on, Tommy Robbins would do it for him. But they knew exactly how many horses were going to be in each condition when the condition book came out,
mm-hmm.
when they were drawing races. And they knew, hey, what about so-and-so? We've got him on our list. He's not in. Call the trainer and find out why, you know. I mean, it was a whole different kettle of fish now. Now you got guys that have 50, 60, 70, 80, 300 horses. And I'm sure some fall through the cracks, don't get entered when they should. I think there's stables have a tendency to be able to run the show. You know, it's like the tail wagging the dog. In the old days, the racing department put on the racing card. Nowadays, the trainers go, well, I don't want to run in there, so I'm not going to run. You know. They may have 5 horses for the race. They don't want it to go. They want it to go next week or whatever. So I'll wait, and then I'll have them put on an extra, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm not 100%
yep.
ready for this race. So there's lots of things involved.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of factors. And that in itself could be a whole hour-long discussion here on the program, really a 2-hour show that you could put together.
Month-long. Month-long show.
Things. Yeah.
A marathon.
Yeah, you could. You could make it a marathon. You could certainly turn it into a marathon show. I don't have any doubt about that. And who knows, maybe up the road that is one of the issues that we explore here on the Equine Forum for you. But not today, because we have John Siskos in the on-deck circle. He'll talk to us about what's coming up next weekend north of the border at Woodbine. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti
A 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Adena Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording 8 fires from 107 to 117 and 9 Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings. Fort Larned, brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic, Mr. Prospector Speed, and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com. Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's his bestie on the outside, taking the lead by half a length. Migliori is asking Iskandar Lekbar to stay with him, but his bestie is accelerating. Seymour takes a peek over his shoulder, and his bestie widens to three. Iskandar Lekbar is second. Gary Formos putting in a late run on the far outside, but they come to the eighth pole. It looks like Iskandar Lekbar was third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Is Vestia dominating the 1990 running of the Queen's Plate? That stakes record still stands today, 2:01 4/5 seconds, the final running time for Is Vestia. And we can't wait to get back to Woodbine and see if maybe more history will be made next Sunday. You'll be able to tune in to our coverage of the Queen's Plate right here on HRRN. Visit horseracingradio.net for SiriusXM channel information, and to listen worldwide, it's all there at horseracingradio.net. We're going to visit with John Siskos, the Director of Communications at Woodbine, momentarily. But before we do, let's remind you that following this program, every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune in to an hour of Spanish race talk. That's right, our Hablando de Ibismo program with Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma airs on HRRNEnEspanol.com. That is our Spanish broadcast platform. So spread the word to all of your Spanish-speaking friends that they can tune in to Horse Racing Talk every Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, a full hour, Hablando de Ibismo, presented by Gulfstream Park, and it's all there at HRRNEnEspanol.com, and you can also follow HRRNEnEspanol on Twitter. Well, John Siskos is with us now, live from Woodbine. John, appreciate the time, my friend, and 1 week away from that running of the Queen's Plate.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Jude. So nice to talk to you again. I'm looking forward to seeing you when you get up here. And that great bumper with his Vestia, I mean, listening to that on the way in, just it gives me goosebumps because that was my first plate working here. So I thought, this horse dominates as he's dominated. I thought, where have I been all my life? Right? He's an all-timer for me. And, one of those horses that changes one's life. And, he's a 13-length winner. He was very fast, very, top-notch horse, handsome, It was just, it was a great time.
He was an outstanding horse. And, man, that was a long time ago. You've worked at Woodbine for a while.
Yeah, I started when I was six.
That's good.
Yeah, I was just a university student, skinny university student, just loving sports, including horse racing, and been here ever since. It's great, having time in my life.
I received an email yesterday with the probables for the 158th running of the Queen's Plate next Sunday, and John, it looks like a big field. It looks like 12 horses probable at this point.
Yeah, I think so. We're going to, again, it's a soft field. It's a soft number, pardon me. It's a moving target, as you'd understand. But we're looking at 12 right now, and we're quite excited about it. I think there's those horses that ran in the plate trial. The 1, 2, 3, 4 are all back. And, the 1, 3 from the Oaks that very same day are back. And, they're prominent names. Jim Jerkins and Bill Mott, and you might have heard of Chad Brown as well. And so the local trainers are Mark Cassie and Roger Atfield is going for a record 9th Queen's Plate, and Catherine Days have been a very prominent trainer around here. It's full of star power.
Yeah, it's such a great race, and it's something that fans really need to attend at least once in their life. It's like a bucket list race.
Yeah, we're trying to build it that way, Jude. It's one of those things where the Kentucky Derby has done very well, and those sort of prominent races around the world, around this planet, the Melbourne Cup, Ascot, as you understand, is going on, and the Arc de Triomphe. All of these prominent racing nations have their signature race, and this is ours, and we have to do a good job of putting on a good show, not only a racing show. It's the modern era of racing. You've got to put on a show for everybody, all those non-racing fans that will want to see rock concerts and will want to wear hats and will want to just enjoy themselves with food and drink and fashion. And we have to do that too. And hopefully we have a few of them bitten by the racing bug and come back another day.
Do you already have your front row seats for the Goo Goo Dolls?
I'm an Our Lady Peace fan. I do enjoy the Goo Goo Dolls, but I'm Our Lady Peace. And Americans know less about Our Lady Peace, but they're a very prominent Canadian band through the 90s and the aughts. So I'm really looking forward to Our Lady Peace on the Saturday.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. The Goo Goo Dolls, Our Lady Peace, who, if you're not familiar with them, they are Canadian rock icons. They're going to be playing as well, and a lot of things to look forward to at that Queen's Plate Festival. And if you're wondering about the post position draw, that takes place on Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. You can actually watch it online, queensplate.com, and make sure you check that out as well as we get you set for the 158th running of, well, it's Canada's first jewel of their Triple Crown and the longest continuously run stakes race in North America. And John, you think about that history. That was one thing that kind of struck me last year when we made our trip there for the first time. The history and the pageantry surrounding the Queen's Plate is almost unparalleled.
Yeah, that's an element of our marketing, in all frankness. Listen, this has been around for 158 years. And while there's going to be no royalty this year, you know, royalty has been here five times. Queen Elizabeth II has been here four times. You know, this is part of it. They've blessed us with this race, and it's carried on through generation after generation. And you know, it's been at Woodbine for the last some 60 some years, I can't see it not being for another 60 years. And and the lieutenant governor of Ontario, which is a figurehead position in Ontario that will represent the monarchy, will present the winning trophy, to the winning owner.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing couple of days at Woodbine, including that Queen's Plate Day next Sunday. And again, our coverage coming up here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. In terms of the equine athletes that we'll see go postward in the Queen's Plate, John, you talked about some of the star power on the human side. Who are some of the big names on the horse side that we can look forward to seeing?
Right. I think Holy Helena is going to be the horse taking the action. She's a Ghost Sapper filly that was bred by the Stronach Group and still owned by the Stronach Group and trained by James Jerkins. And she won the Oaks in a fast time on a couple of Sundays ago. I think she's going to take a lot of action, and I view her. You know, I'm not putting her in the category of an Awesome Again or Shaman Ghost, but both of those horses were very lightly raced horses coming into the Queen's Plate, and look at what they turned out to be. And you know, I have this sense with Holy Helena, that's what she's going to be. Again, she's a filly, and has to bounce back after an outstanding Oaks, but she'll be very well backed, and she'll be very live for the plate. The plate trial winner is a horse called Guy Caballero. And if you're SCTV fans, if listeners are SCTV fans, there's a character from SCTV that the horse was named after. And, you know, he wasn't as fast as Holy Helena that ran on the same day, a long shot at 20-1, but looks like he arrived on that day and has the license to go forward as well.
It's one of the best horse names ever, Guy Caballero.
Remember him, Joe Flaherty, if the listeners remember, he had the white hat, the white suit, and had the big cigar. Guy Caballero.
Just fabulous.
Yeah. Great stuff.
John Siskos, Director of Communications at Woodbine, with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, I had a great conversation this past week with Dave Whitford, who is the Broodmare and Stallion Manager at Iconic Samson Farms. And to think about their history and all of the success that they've had in the sport, and then to see them return with a potential runner coming up in the Queen's Plate with Malibu Secret, that has to be special too, to have the Samson Farm represented.
That's true. A very prominent a member of the racing media was here yesterday, and that's his pick for the Queen's Plate. And you mean Malcolm Pierce is a longtime trainer around here. He's been around Queen's Plate champions. He was the assistant trainer for Jim Day through the Dance Smartly years, and and other Queen's Plate winners, Regal Classic. So, Regal Intention. Oh my! So he knows how to get a plate winner, and this is the Marine has spawned horses Queen's Plate winners before. And they skipped the plate trial and gone right into the plate, and horses have done that, and horses have done that very well. And you could see him leaping forward, and probably at a square price, in all frankness, and running a big race. He will absolutely be no surprise to me if he wins.
Well, it should be a great day of racing. We have all the guarantees and the pick threes and pick four pools that we're going to be talking about as we get closer. And, of course, that post-draw coming up Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. You can look at queensplate.com for that particular event, and then all of the information on the Queen's Plate. And if you get the chance to make it there, please do, because it is one of the great trips that we make all year long. And John, can't wait to see you when we get to town next week.
Looking forward to it, gentlemen. You take care, and we'll speak to you soon.
Appreciate it. John Siskos here on HRN. Like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of...
Embrace the Race.
The apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion, and you can wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Got to get on Mike D'Anzaris, though. Needs to get a few bow ties on the website.
Yeah, and something for fat guys.
But don't they have like 4Xs or something there?
No.
No?
2X is all they have. And I harp on this every year. And he says, I'll get you some, dude. That never happens.
The Big A collection.
Beast
of the Belmont collection.
That's a whole different kettle of fish there.
Yeah, that might be 6 or 7X. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know where that stops, what the over-under is on X's.
I think he's like 5, maybe.
Is it 5X? He's slimmed down a little.
I know he is.
Hashtag beast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, time now to take a look at your monthly KTA KTOB spotlight, and then one final break, and we'll come back and wrap up the program, tell you what's ahead on the network here over the course of the next couple of months. But when you think about Kentucky breds, well, they continue to make waves across the globe, and you know, unlike most state bred programs, Kentucky bred group winners are eligible to receive breeder awards worldwide. That's right, worldwide. So in the first 3 days of the prestigious Royal Ascot meeting this week, Lady Aurelia, you remember her, she put on an electrifying display, taking the Group 1 King Stand Stakes over older rivals, just 1/100th off the course record. She became the first filly to win the race in 15 years, so congratulations to Kentucky-bred Lady Aurelia. Sioux Nation, a 2-year-old colt, prevailed in the Group 2 Norfolk Stakes, and Kentucky-bred Lancaster Bomber was runner-up in the Group 1 St. James Palace Stakes, as were both Happy Like a Fool in the Queen Mary, that's a Group 2, and Spirit of Valor in the Group 3 Jersey Stakes. Another 2-year-old, Murillo, was third in the Coventry, that's a Group 2, and the 3-year-old filly, Conte Partio, that's terrible, I butchered it, won the listed Sandingham handicap over 23 rivals. The guys with HRN and Espanol are not going to be happy with me over that pronunciation. Well, how about this? Last Sunday in France, and my French is probably worse than my Spanish, 3-year-old filly Senga won the classic Prix de Diane, a Group 1, for her breeder, Flaxman Holdings, and Tarif scored in the Group 3, no clue, pre-something. Ended up winning that one.
Pre-something?
That's all
I got. I didn't know that was a graded race.
Right, here you go. I'm going to try this. I'm actually going to try this. Pre-Bertrand du... I have no idea. Breuil? B-R-E-U-I-L.
Yeah, that's close.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tarif, a Kentucky bred. And since January 1st this year, 60 Kentucky breds have won or placed in group stakes. Kentucky bred means quality bred worldwide. You can visit KentuckyBred.org to learn more. You think Rodolphe Brisset would be upset with me?
No, he wouldn't be upset.
Julien Leperoux.
He says, I don't want people to remember me just because my name is hard to say. I thought that was a great line.
He told me, just think of Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. Uh-huh. That's exactly what he said to me. And just go with an O for Rodolphe.
Rodolphe.
Yeah. Rodolphe Brisset.
Yeah. It's not that hard.
No.
Once you know.
Right.
Right?
But he knew how bad my French was.
I could see, like, people calling him Roddy Brisset.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure he gets that. I don't want to tell you what I called him when I first called him and asked him to come on the show. I completely butchered his first name. It wasn't even close.
My old friend Armando Laje, this guy was talking to me one day, and he said, oh, you know, in Northern California, I love that trainer, Manny Lage. And I go, who? I never heard of Manny Lage. He goes, you know, that trainer up in San Francisco, Manny Lage. And I go, oh, you mean Armando Laje. And he goes, that's how you say it? I go, yeah, that's how you say it.
Almost the same as pronouncing it Barry Shkinoff.
Yeah, well, there's only one of those.
There's only one of those. All right, we've got to get to a break. We'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. Mike Penn and Jude Feld. This is the Equine Forum, and it's all presented by Woodbine Entertainment for the month of June. And we are happy to have you back with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We told you, you just heard from John Siskos with a preview of the Queen's Plate. We told you we will be there with our coverage next Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern. That means this show will be live from Woodbine next Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you're locked in as we get you set for that 158th running of the Queen's Plate. And just a quick reminder that the early pick four pool on Sunday will be guaranteed at $150,000. The late pick four pool at $300,000, and Woodbine also offering 20-cent bet minimums on all their Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. And, of course, you can try your luck with the special Queen's Plate Thoroughbred Pick 5, which is only offered on plate day. That is $600,000 in guaranteed Pick 4 and Pick 5 pools that you can share in by playing the races on Queen's Plate Day. Head over to queensplate.com to learn more and follow at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. You know, the pageantry, that's one thing we talked about with John, the pageantry of the Queen's Plate and the parade, a lot like they do. It's not like the parade that we see in Barbados where you have people on stilts and marching bands. It's not that same type of parade, but it's still an international event. And it seems like these international races, Jude, when they put on a show, they really put on a show.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You have the carriages and the horses and the bands and, it's a spectacle, and it's a great day of racing. Now, we were a little spoiled last year with the weather. It was absolutely beautiful, maybe a little hot by Canadian standards, but it was a fantastic day. And, of course, Woodbine has that massive turf course on the outside, and three different racetracks, the main track inside the turf course, and inside of that, the gunmetal gray track for the trotters.
Yep.
So it's a beautiful place. And one of the things I really loved was kicking around the barn area and going to visit Roger Atfield.
Oh, that was tremendous.
That was a great experience.
One of the great experiences we've ever had, sitting there with Roger and taking the time to do an interview with us. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, really cool. And Emma Jane, caught up with Emma Jane too.
Emma Jane, she's a delight and such a good rider and spent a lot of time with us. That was really nice.
And one more time, that coverage next Sunday, 4 Eastern. It's all presented by our friends at twinspires.com. Make sure you head over there and support them as well. I want to say some thank yous to all of our guests for being with us this morning. You heard from trainer Dallas Stewart looking back on the big win in the Fleur-de-Lis by Forever Unbridled. You heard from Dan Torgman in the first half of the show talking about the Equestricon convention. Mike Smith, the Hall of Fame jockey who has won more Breeders' Cup races than anybody in history, looked back on his 5-win day on the Belmont undercard and had some great things to say about Songbird. And John Siskos a few minutes ago looking ahead to the Queen's Plate. Been a fun show, JT.
Yeah, went fast.
We'll talk to you next week from Canada, eh? For our producers, Lee Delapina, Sean C., for Jute Feld, I'm Mike Penna, and of course, as always, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.